Lightning getting set for the first ever Tampa-Florida playoff matchup as the number two seed Panthers and the number three seed in the Central, the Tampa Bay Lightning, will go at it for the first time ever in the postseason. Brian Engbaum joins us. Brian, welcome back to the show, my man. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Oh, buddy, I am so fired up for the playoffs this year. Oh, I can't wait. I love it. Like, I just think the rivalries are going to be a little bit more right from the get-go because these teams have all played at least, you know, 8 times, 9 or 10, depending if you're in the North or not. So, and Florida, Tampa, like, I know that, like, those late season, regular season meetings, it looked like there's a little bit of a message being sent to one another. Brian, you must have thought you were watching Montreal, Quebec or Montreal, Boston there for a while.
Yeah, that's for sure. You know what? That's actually been going on for a couple of years. They don't get along too well. And it's great fun to watch. There's always a lot of emotion. This is what 5 years I've been watching it here locally, and all 5 years, doesn't matter if it's October in a normal year or those last two games that they just finished playing a couple of days ago, they really get after it. And yeah, you know, there was some old time hockey there at times for sure. The players take it into their own hands at times, and you know, we'll see what happens when the playoffs roll around. And you guys know as well as I do, you can't afford to get stupid and you give up some power plays. Florida's got a really good power play, and the same thing for the Lightning, obviously. So I think that passion and that energy will be there. Will they hit hard? Oh yeah, you bet. And all it takes is that one hit, you know, where somebody goes hunting and it's over the line. And then you could certainly see some stuff break out. I certainly would believe that. But until that time, I think it's just going to be rough pounding hockey.
Speaking of rough pounding hockey, Brian, you played for a long time. I don't know if you ever sat out a full season and then just decided to step in for the postseason. Like Kucherov's a Hart Trophy winning player. Like, he's obviously ultra talented, but he hasn't played since last October. How's he looked? What's your expectation for Kucherov? Like, should we just expect that Nikita Kucherov's going to come in and, you know, might have a few games where he ends up with 2 or 3 points? Is, you know, how realistic is that? How much of an impact do you think he has in this series?
I'm not worried about him at all. I think he'll have a huge impact. I wouldn't be surprised if he has 2 or 3 points in game one. He looks terrific, and he's under the 5 month time frame. As you know, the hip surgery that he had, they always say it's like 5 months of recovery. He had it at the very end of December. So he's not even quite at the 5 month line, but he's been skating for a couple of weeks, you know, ramping it up, just on his own for a long time. No contact, no nothing. The usual protocol. Braden Point had double hip surgery. Yanni Gourde's had it. I think he had both of his done, a year or two ago as well. So the Lightning medical staff have been through this with their own guys, you know, over the last couple of years. Kucherov is not a normal player, that's for sure. He is above 99.9% of all the players the way they think the game. And I have no problem with Kucherov. I don't think there's going to be any play in time. Will he hit a bit of a wall somewhere along the line? It's possible for sure. Would he be a little bit rusty? Okay, a little bit rusty for Kucherov is like kind of an average to just above average player. He's that good, and I think he's going to have an immediate, huge impact.
Brian Engbaum joins us, analyst for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Victor Hedman, Brian, we saw it in 2019. Like, he's so important to that Lightning team. You know, he was banged up. He tried to play 2 games in the postseason. He could barely move. He's banged up now. How concerned are they about his health?
Well, he's Conn Smythe Trophy winner from last year, so anytime he's not completely 100%, yeah, they'd be worried about it. I watched him move yesterday, and today he looks just fine to me. I know when the story came out, it was based on a hit that he went down the end of March in a hit against Columbus, if I remember right, and he needed help off the ice, and whatever it is exactly he may need to have repaired surgically. It was news to me until that story came out as well. So I don't have any inside scoop on that. All I know is from that time that he got hurt up until the last 2 games where he gave him some time off and he didn't play, his ice time per game was down all of 1.5 minutes per game. So if he was incredibly in dire straits, no way he'd have played all of those games. It was basically a rest factor, I think, leading up to it. You never know with these things, though. Only Victor knows and the medical staff. I watched him skate today. He looked like Victor Hedman. I'll keep my fingers crossed that he stays looking like Victor Hedman, because he is an absolute beast in the playoffs, and I love watching him play.
Oh, he's huge. Now, Sam Bennett has come into Florida, and him and Huberdeau, that's given them something. It's allowed Florida to break up Huberdeau and Barkov, right? So they're on separate lines, and they can be dynamic. It's just like there's a lot of talent in this one, and you've seen Florida for a lot of years, Brian. It's at least from far away. Now, I know even without, if they had Aaron Ekblad, it'd be even better. But is this the best Florida team that you've seen them ice?
Yes, absolutely. And look, I feel really bad for Ekblad. He's a heck of a player, and he's fun to watch. And he's going to be sorely missed. I mean, he had 11 goals in the, 34 or 35 games, I don't have it in front of me, that he did play for him before, you know, he jacked up his leg and he's done for the season. 11 goals. And on the power play, I think he had six of them. So he's a huge loss for sure. But I really commend Joel Quenneville and the team and the way they've found, you know, other ways and other guys to step up. Mackenzie Weegar has been outstanding. He's usually Ekblad's partner, and he's usually the other guy, right? Because we're talking about Ekblad all the time. Well, Mackenzie Weegar is a player. I've been really impressed with him, and his numbers speak for themselves, especially since Ekblad went down. As far as Sam Bennett goes, I mean, could you ask for anything more? I mean, he has fit in perfectly. He's exactly what they needed. Instant chemistry with Huberdeau. They've had him with Owen Tippett on the other line. Sometimes Hornquist will go on that wing. It depends on how they want to mix and match. But Sam Bennett gave him that gritty second/third line. And realistically, he's the second line center for sure, because he's playing with Huberdeau. Now, for a couple of years, Barkov and Huberdeau basically had to play together because they are two most skilled guys. I saw a stat where 5-on-5, they were together like 2 years ago, like 69% of the time. This year, 14%. So when you can split them up and have a 1-2 punch, Huberdeau is one of the most underrated forwards in the National Hockey League. I've really come to know how good this guy is, and I think everybody knows Barkov now and what they're like. So to be able to split them up and play them on different lines is a huge plus for Quenneville.
Yeah, and you know, Brian, you know this is playing. Like, matchups become such an integral part of the postseason. Yep. And the player that you saw last year a lot and now is in Florida and, you know, having a breakout season, were you expecting, like, was Carter Verhaeghe a guy that you thought, hey, given an opportunity, he could produce, or has he exceeded your expectations in Florida?
Oh, he's exceeded them for sure. He did a real nice job when he was here with the Lightning, but as stacked as the Lightning were really on the top nine, you know, he got a sniff here and there, you know, with some injuries to play with the skilled guys, yeah, here and there, the odd games playing up with the big guys, and he was fine, but it just had to go through the process, right, and be a little nervous at first and maybe defer to them a little bit too much. But mostly he was a fourth-line guy and maybe a third-line guy for some stretches. But to go in there and in training camp, basically, just get some chemistry with Barkov, and then Quenneville and the coaching staff, my understanding is, and from the looking from the outside, they just went, okay, the kid's been good early on. Let's put him there, see how long he lasts. Okay, he's still good. Okay, he's still good. Okay, he's damn good. We're not taking him off. So good for him. He's a shooter. His numbers in the American League showed that he can score goals. He knows where to go and what to do when he gets there. The rest, as you guys know, is confidence. He got his confidence, and boy, what a year he had.
Brian Engman joins us on Edmonton Sports Theater, TSN 1260. Brian, you've gotten to see all these teams way more than us because it's everybody against their own division. The Nashville Predators in the second half of the season are 27-1. 20 wins, 7 losses, 1 overtime. They got the best record in the Central against those other three teams as well. Are they, like, Carolina's been really good all season too, just like Florida and Tampa, but do we have to maybe give Nashville a little bit more respect, specifically UC Saros, who's just been crushing it with a .940 save percentage in the last 28 starts?
He's a heck of a goalie, that's for sure. And I think there was still the, you know, is it Pekka Rinne or Saros at the beginning of the year? Pekka's been there a long time. He's the guy that they're going to hang his jersey up when he retires in the Raptors, and well-deserved. But he just not the same as he used to be. And so Saros, I think, took that over. Then he had some injuries. And once he came back from the injuries, I don't have those numbers in front of me, but he just took the team over. They had a lot of injuries up front. I mean, their forwards were just racked with injuries, and they could never get anything going line combination-wise. And then they had a couple of defensemen go down on top of it. So, and you know, their main guys. So they went through a lot, and I give them a lot of credit because they kept it together just enough so that, you know, when Roman Josi got healthy again, he came back and was just dynamic again. They're a dangerous team, but I'll tell you what, that Carolina team is really good. I don't give Nashville much of a chance against them.
All right, that's fair. From afar, give me your thoughts on the other divisions. The West, Colorado, Vegas seem like stars. What do you think of the North up in Canada, where you, of course, used to play, winning some cups with the Habs? A rivalry, Brian, that hasn't happened since 1979. You were on that team when they played the Leafs in the postseason. Haven't met since. Actually, that was, you guys won the Stanley Cup that year, so first time in a long time. Toronto, Montreal, then Edmonton, Winnipeg. What do you think?
Yeah, that's pretty amazing that it's been that long since those two teams have played against each other. Incredible. Toronto's had a heck of a year. There is no doubt about that. I don't think Montreal has the firepower to beat them over the course of a long season. They've done really well. They had a good, solid year. They had a lot of new faces, Montreal, I'm talking about, but the firepower that Toronto has. And I think if they get some solid goaltending, I think they've learned some lessons over the last couple of years. I think Toronto's going to win that series. Edmonton and Winnipeg, to be honest with you, I didn't watch Winnipeg very much over the last month or so, busy with our team, et cetera. But I just kept looking at, you know, and I'm looking at them now at 2-8 in their last 10. Like, what the hell happened there? That's obviously concerning. To lose a few games at the end is one thing, but to be struggling that badly, Well, the reset button in the playoffs and you win a game early on can do it. But just as dynamic as Edmonton is, and I think Edmonton, a team that is – has learned a lot too, and it has progressed a long way this year. I don't think Winnipeg can beat Edmonton.
Brian, you're a defender for a long time. Had to face off a lot against skilled forwards. Connor McDavid and what he did this season, specifically recently with 35 points in his last 13 games. You had to face a lot of top guys. How would Brian Engblom go about trying to slow down Connor McDavid?
When I saw him coming out of his own end, I think I'd change. I go right to the box and I change and have the next guy come on. You have to have more than one guy. It has to be a team concept. I've never seen anybody so skilled, so fast with a hand speed to match feet that just go faster and better and more decisively than anybody I've ever seen in my life. I'd be scared as hell, to be honest with you. I think the only way to play against Connor is you have to roam a lot. Like, you know, the top defenders now in the game. Let's use Victor Hedman for an example. Victor probably plays 70% of his game, 75% of his game skating forwards. He's not the classic style of skate forwards up the ice and skate backwards, you know, back to your own end and receive the rush. If you're receiving the rush against Connor McDavid, you are going to receive something that is just going to, you know, it's something you can't handle. How can you turn and go? How can anybody turn and go fast enough as a defenseman to stay with Connor McDavid, the way he can step on the gas and change gears? I think you have to have a roaming defenseman, and of course you have to have help from your forwards, running him into the ditch a little bit, right, and veering, you know, pushing him off to one side. But I think you have to loop and go. You can go way back to Paul Coffey and Bobby Orr and guys who like Hedman, and there's others in the league. I'm just using Hedy as an example now, is you loop up and you skate with him. And, yeah, I know that's a problem too because he's so fast. But for me, it's the turning and going that causes a problem. I would play him skating forward as a defenseman as much as you can and try to keep him to the outside and yell for a lot of help.
Brian, that was a really good description, man. I love it. Thanks so much for this, Brian. Enjoy the playoffs. I can't wait to watch them. I start tomorrow. I'm pumped. Thanks for this, as always. Have a great weekend.
Absolutely, guys. What we all wait for. I'm pumped, too. This is going to be awesome. There's so much excitement down here in Florida for this series. It's going to be terrific.
Imagine.
It's a great matchup. It's mirror images, really, of both teams, and it's going to be great.
Yeah, and you get some fans, too, so that's a bonus. Nice. Enjoy
yeah.
it.
How about that?